First Baptist Church of Redmond, November 29th, 2020, Mark chapter 14. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial.
Mark 14:6 through 8. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me, for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial." You may be seated.
Mark chapter 14, the first nine verses is what our attention is. Mary Daniel hadn't seen her husband for 114 days due to coronavirus restrictions at the senior care facility where she lives. Her husband, Steve, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 7 years ago and moved into a care facility in Jacksonville, Florida. She said she had been visiting her husband every night and would get ready, would get him ready for bed. But when the coronavirus pandemic hit, health facilities restricted visitors as a way to prevent the spread of COVID. Facility closed to visitors on March 11th, the last time she saw Steve as a visitor. Mary was worried about her husband spending so much time alone, and she was desperate, quotation marks, to find another way to stay connected. She said, quote, "We have separated this folks to save them, but the isolation will absolutely kill them, especially dementia patients. They need interaction. They need to be touched so that they can grow instead of wither away." Mary said, out of the blue, 2 weeks ago, the corporate officer of his memory care said to me, "We've got a part-time job available. Will you take it?" She was willing to do any job they offered for the chance to get inside, and what they ended up giving her was a dishwashing position. The job allowing Mary to see her husband regularly, and she's grateful for it. Quote, "It is worth it to be able to visit him, and I can already tell just the difference in his demeanor after 3 visits. I get to go again tonight. It has made the world of difference for me." She said her husband now feels love, something that he missed out on while they are separated. "I'm so grateful and lucky and fortunate. I want to be with him every day." We come to the transition. The Lord Jesus is now in the final stages of his death for us. Passover and unleavened bread views the two aspects of this festival. They're two separate things. Passover commemorates the passing over of Israeli homes on Nisan 15th, the Passover. I'm having a hard time. Commemorates the Passover of Israel homes on Nisan the 15th, out of Egypt. Unleavened bread, Nisan 15 through 21st, immediately followed, commemorating the exit from Egypt. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him and kill him. This event probably occurred Tuesday, the same night that Mary Magdalene washed his feet. We're seeking their continuing discussion of the meeting, and the agenda was to kill him. Caiaphas said that Jesus must die, and they were glad to fulfill their mission. For they're saying, not during the festival, lest there be a riot among the people. They plan to wait, but they were fearful because Galileans were viewed as the troublemakers, or colloquially, the gang members of Israel. They were afraid of them, and they were cautious, and Galileans were feared. They riot in defending one of their own. Jesus was seen as one of their own. And while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, we know nothing of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of costly perfume of pure nard. She broke the vial and poured it over his head. Again, I think this was Tuesday evening. Magdalene is unnamed, but she's named in other passages. She carried an alabaster container of perfume, which evaporated rapidly and left a very pleasant odor. It wasn't going to last, but it would have an effect. Alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, she broke it and poured it over his head. Is approximately 12 fluid ounces. They study volumes, and this was a most common volume. Nard, a plant native to India. This results in expense and the source of the finest products. India was a resource, but it took travel and time to do that. Pure, unmixed with other elements. Broke. You opened it by snapping a sealed lid, and the flasks next had quick access to the contents. It was poured over Jesus' entire body. There's the references to the feet of Jesus. There's references to Jesus' head. Somehow, The mixture was poured 12 ounces only over his whole body. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted?" Judas was the originator of the criticism, but the other disciples were quick to join in. "For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her as if this was their chief concern, feeding the poor. Judas was a thief, is skimming the offerings. 300 denarii, according to our previous estimate of $15 an hour, 8-hour day, $120 times 300 is $36,000. The Bethany household must have been comparatively wealthy. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me." Jesus acted to protect this woman and stop their attacks. Why? Because their response was unreasonable. It is a good work. Its value is related to his person, Jesus of Nazareth. It's the act of devotion to him. I have a quotation. "The Lord's tacit acceptance of supreme devotion as his due is not less remarkable than Mary's readiness to render it. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me." The word "always" appears first for emphasis. It stresses that charity is not a limited opportunity. Aggressive social action should be taken against poverty, by the way, and concern for charity must not be used as a pretext for blaming the woman for using her unique opportunity. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. She saw and embraced the only opportunity open to her to serve him. Her love for her, for him, had discerned what the disciples could not see as a need, anointing Jesus' body for burial. And she understood something of the mystery of a Messiah who must die. God showed it to her. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that also which this woman has done shall be spoken of in memory of her. As a means of keeping alive a remembrance of her among the people, no other human being received such a promise from Jesus for us. Jesus knew that his times were in the Father's hand. Chapter 13 contains an admonition which Jesus repeated several times in one form or another, namely, stay on the alert, be watchful. But according to 1437, 1440, and 1441, this is exactly what Peter, James, and John failed to do. Stand, watch. In the depths of World War I, Swedish authorities deciding their citizens need to be know what to do, the fighting finally arrived at their doorstep. They maintained neutrality, but it was hard to believe they continued to do so, especially as the Nordic neighbors got caught in the tides of violence. So they decided on a hefty pamphlet delivered to households across Sweden. Roughly translated, if war comes. The pamphlets offered tips how to interpret sirens and what to take along in the case of the evacuation. The pamphlets then ended the war. For more than 5 decades, Sweden distributed these little bits of information and instruction on catastrophe until the end of the Cold War seemed to diminish their usefulness and they were discontinued. Now, based on the pandemic, Sweden is bringing them back. The Swedish Civil Contingency Agency is organizing the reboot of the pamphlet, augmenting its advice on conventional warfare with tips on how to grapple with threats of this era. Terrorism, cyber attacks, pandemics, misinformation campaigns, and crises on climate change. The agency expects to deliver these pamphlets to 4.7 million Swedish households. A spokesman for the agency said, "Back then, the focus was only on war. Today, society looks totally different. They're considerably more complex threats. People need to learn more and know more about how to handle their own and their nearest relatives' fundamental needs for a while." Scripture tells our greatest need is for Christ to save us. And we need to dedicate ourselves to spreading this message.